This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
The latest on the descent toward a shutdown. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The way things stand now, we are headed to a government shutdown this weekend. The House and Senate cannot agree on even a temporary measure to keep the government going in the short term. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer catches us up on the latest.
The Senate is moving ahead with a stopgap spending bill that would keep the government open at current funding levels until November, but House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is rejecting that measure. Normally, the government is funded through 12 spending bills, which both houses pass and the president signs. The Senate stopgap legislation would keep the government going while Congress continues working on those 12 bills. Hardline House Republicans, though, are rejecting the idea of a temporary funding measure. If there is no stopgap funding bill, there will be a government shutdown starting at midnight Washington time this Sunday. Federal employees deemed essential would have to work without pay. That includes air traffic controllers, airport baggage screeners, and active duty members of the military. Some of the government data the Federal Reserve relies on wouldn't be issued, like the September jobs report. And the ratings agency Moody's has warned a shutdown could damage the federal government's credit rating. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The soccer video game FIFA is named after FIFA, the sports governing body. It is one of the most played video games and has been around for more than 30 years. And it is now rebranding, changing its name from FIFA to EA Sports FC. The game with the new name hits shelves this week. The BBC's gaming correspondent Stephen Powell has more.
It's probably the biggest rebrand attempt in the entertainment industry's history. Someone described it to me as like rebranding the Bond franchise. It's worth $2 billion a year to Electronic Arts, the company that make the game. 20 million people play it every month. Why they've done it? Well, there's two reasons. Firstly, cash, sort of a discussion about how much they should be paying for the license going forward, and they couldn't reach an agreement on that reportedly. But also in my interviews with EA Sports in the lead up to this game coming out, they were saying to me that actually it also comes down to control and freedom. By being away from the license of FIFA, now what they've done is they've struck individual agreements with all those different clubs and leagues, 9,000 players and 700 teams. And that approach to the game has been central to why this game has been so popular over the years. And so they've been clever in that they've been able to maintain those licenses and likenesses going forward. So even though they're losing the name, they're keeping hold of arguably what made the game unique in the first place.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
Now for a story very much at the intersection of art and money. There is a Danish artist named Jens Hannig. He was commissioned by a museum in Denmark to make one of his trademark pieces, a canvas covered in paper money that calls attention to low average incomes and inequality. Instead, he gave the museum two blank canvases, and he kept the money. Last week, a Danish court ordered the artist to return most of the funds. Just yesterday, Hannig's attorney said he is appealing the ruling. For more Marketplace's David Brancaccio spoke with art critic Blake Gopnik.
So he gets this commission, he gets the money to use in the creation of this piece, and what does he send back?
He sends them back two empty frames, two canvases, blank canvases with no money on them at all. You know, he was supposed to stick $75,000 worth of money onto the canvas to represent the average Danish income. And instead, he sends them back completely blank and gives them a title called Take the Money and Run, a very suitable descriptive title.
So presumably at first, the museum says, ha ha, good one, Jens. We'll hang these up for now, but could we have the money back? He doesn't want to send it. It becomes a court case, right?
That's right. In fact, just last week, a Danish court said he had to give back the money. And he said, I think kind of credibly, that taking the money was actually the work of art, a new work of art, not, you know, this was supposed to have been a remake of a 2007 work. And he said, no, I'm making a new one. And it's called Take the Money and Run. And it involves my taking the money and running.
You wrote the big biography of Andy Warhol, and business art is, you know, a big part of that narrative. What do you think, though, of what this artist in Denmark sent back? I mean, is it a worthwhile piece?
Sure, I think it's a perfectly worthwhile piece. I mean, there is a big problem, which is that artists like him, you know, he's a 60-year-old, almost 60-year-old Danish conceptualist. I think it's guaranteed he doesn't even make the average Danish income. You know, artists make very little and they work very hard, so it makes a kind of sense for him to underline that. He turned a piece that was just about the average Danish income into a piece about artists' incomes, and that's kind of major issue that doesn't really get focused on in the art world or outside of it. I mean, his total fee and expenses, I think, was only about $4,000 for, you know, a major work of art. That's not a lot of money to be paid for something that you spend some considerable time and, in fact, an entire career developing.
This artist, Hannig, he had a statement. He said, quote, "I encourage other people who have working conditions as miserable as mine to do the same. If they're sitting there doing some bleeping job and not getting paid and are actually being asked to pay money to go to work, then grab what you can and beat it." it's agitprop is what this is.
Absolutely. You know, he's obviously ticked off at the fact that this court is making him return the money. But I think that makes perfect sense. You could say that's the final brushstroke in this work of business art, that in fact the museum has now contributed its component to Hannig's work. It's become a collaborator, and that collaboration involves suing him and getting the money back. So I don't think he should complain, and I don't think the museum should complain. Together, they've made a pretty interesting work of business art.
Always good to talk to Blake Gopnik, art critic and author of the comprehensive Warhol biography. Blake, thank you so much.
A treat, David.
And that was Marketplace's David Brancaccio there in New York. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.